How many times you don't intend for a lesson to be as point on as what it turns out to be. It's been kind of a sad day for some to have to lay a brother in Christ down to rest in a funeral session. And then at the same time to have a brother and sister in Christ bring in a new baby into this world. It's interesting how life seems to work out that way. And how wonderful it is to serve a God who is so powerful to be able to make both of those things happy things if you only choose to serve Him. When I was 4, my mother lost her father. He was only 56. And I remember the funeral, oddly enough. I remember the tears. I remember certain things that happened in and around that funeral and how it affected me. I also remember a few years later being in our living room watching a certain television show that I won't use the name because it'll be very distracting. But a country song come on. And the country song was Daddy's Hands by Holly Dunn. And I can remember watching my mom listen to that song being sung and seeing the tears well up in her eyes. And I couldn't fully appreciate the gravity of the mindset and the idea of taking things for granted, but I distinctly remember understanding that that was once my mama as well. Her father gave those things to her. She experienced those same things. She doesn't have those hands now, only a memory of how her father loved and showed love to her. Let me just tell you, what little experience that I have being a father is, well, to say the least, interesting. Harper makes it very interesting. Seeing someone so lovable, so vulnerable, depend on you, brings a perspective that honestly only someone that is in that position of a parent can even begin to understand. I don't know what Harper will remember about her years of growing up. I hope that they can bring her great joy. I hope that I'm doing the job that God called on me to do, that I had with my father. But I don't know if I fully appreciate the things that my father did for me. I hope that that's the case. But tonight, what I really want us to focus on is I want us to focus on the idea of God's hands. What do the scriptures have to say about our father's hands? Because the sad fact is that regardless of what you think of yourself, more often than not, we all find ourselves not really appreciating what our father's hands do for us. What they have did for us. Because our father's hands, much like the song that Holly Dunn sings, our father's hands are full of lessons, full of tales, full of work and kindness and love and discipline. My hope is that I and Harper and all of us can fully appreciate the things that our earthly fathers do for us. But for tonight, what I want us to focus on is for us to consider some passages about what our Heavenly Father's hands are said to do for us. This is not going to be an all-encompassing lesson about every single aspect of what the Bible might say that God does for us. But I hope that it's going to bring out some that hopefully strengthens and encourages us. As I do believe that that passage, as Steve pointed out, does a good job of doing. I want to start by us remembering this fact. God's hands made everything. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 12 says, "It is I who made the earth and created mankind upon it. I stretched out the heavens with my hands." His hands have done something that no one else can do. They created life. Sure, He has given us means to procreate, but only He creates life. And that's something we don't need to forget, dear brothers. We can't forget that. Because some out there in the scientific world and outside the scientific world would have you believe various theories about the beginning of life void of a creator. And they push these ideas and they push these mindsets. Yet, even in scientific law, something can't come from nothing. Something had to be created. And what I'm trying to tell you and what I'm trying to expound upon tonight is this idea that God is that something and that someone. And it's not just that He did it, but He did it because He loved us. God loved us, so He made us. God loved you, so He made you. Do you appreciate that? But it's not just that He created you because He loved you. He created everything around us because He loved us and because He cares for us. Psalm chapter 19 in verse 1. The heavens tell of the glory of God, and their expanse declares the work of His hands. Here's a reminder of that similar fact. Again, the psalmist here, believed to be David, points out that these created things, especially focused on space here, continue to show proof of our Creator and His great love and His great power and might. Again, like the country song, this points back to the proof of the love that is in our Father's hands and the power that is in our Father's hands. And things like the intricacy of a cell or even the snowflake continue to baffle those in the scientific world. Why? Because they point to design. And while they may sit there and they may ponder that and fight that and buck against that all that they want to, for those of you that are in this audience tonight, how often do we take these things for granted ourselves? Do you ever stop and look up at those stars mentioned here? Maybe you take a walk in a field or in the woods. Maybe that's just me. I don't know. Maybe you look around when you go to the Smoky Mountains. Maybe you look around when you go to New York City and you see all of these amazing things. Do you stop and recognize that man didn't really bring that about? God did. God did. It's interesting to me how many people of all walks of life, believers and not believers, can go out into the fields, can go out into the woods and become one with nature, as they sometimes say. This idea that I'm going to go out there and I'm going to connect with nature. But here's the thing. If there's no creator, where's the connection? Because you see, I do believe that there is a connection that each and every one of us has with the natural world, and that's our God. That's His hands, because He created everything. It's easy to see throughout all of human history, people have recognized that there's more. They have. There is a designer. And I'm convinced that even those of us who profess to believe, we just don't always do a very good job of stopping to appreciate that. To appreciate those hands and everything that they've done for us. But I'm also convinced that we don't fully appreciate what those hands continue to do for us. Think that's fair to say? Because these are not hands that are hidden. These are not hands that don't want you to come to see them and know about them. But these are hands that are reaching out for us. You see, that's another part about God and His hands. God's hands offer wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 1, actually in verse 7, it begins this way. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. That sounds good, Brian. I think everybody in the world would tend to agree with that. The question is where does that wisdom come from and where does that knowledge come from? That first line, that right there, the fear of the Lord, that's the sticker, isn't it, for a lot of people. But what about us? Because later on, he goes to describe some of these people that aren't heeding this wisdom as this in verse 20. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you, because I called and you refused. I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all of my counsel and you did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof, so they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them and the complacency of fools will destroy them, but he who listens to me shall live securely. and will be at ease from the dread of evil. Folks, our Father wants us to know Him. Our Father wants us to hear Him. He is not hiding His wisdom from us. As it's described right here, it is screaming in the streets. It is there to be seen. It is there to be heard. It is there to take part in and to come to an understanding of. He's not hiding from us. He wants us to know Him. Sometimes I feel like people get this idea that God wants us to fail. But it's passages like this that points to the opposite. He doesn't want us to fail. He's doing everything to try to help us not fail. It is us who fail Him. It's us who fail Him. We fail to listen to His wisdom. But fortunately, like a good father, God's hands are always ready to train in the ways of wisdom. Are you heeding it now before the calamity strikes? Are you heeding it now when you have the opportunity to hear clearly, to think clearly, to believe clearly? Or do you think it's just going to happen when, I'll go find it when I really need it? You're being foolish if you don't recognize that you really need it right now. That's not me, that's Proverbs. This, however, well, it definitely gets taken for granted, doesn't it? Even with our earthly fathers or grandfathers, there's many things that they tried to show us, didn't they? I can think back to growing up and how many things that my dad and my granddad tried to show me whenever I was a kid. And I would just go, okay, I'll understand it when I need to. It's not a big deal right now. And I was only really focused on what I wanted to know. I wanted to know more about those football statistics. I wanted to know more about the video game that I was into at the time. I wanted to know more about those things, and I wasn't as interested in what they were trying to teach me. Now listen, don't take that as me denouncing football or video games per se. But if that's your only focus, maybe I'm speaking heavier to men here than I am ladies. Oh, you want me throwing shopping? Whatever is your focus, if you let that be so much your focus that you fail to listen to the wisdom that is screaming out to you from places like your father, from places like your mother, from places like our Lord, then you're being foolish. And I don't just say that to the young people in the audience. I say that to all of us. Because it's still there to be had. It's still there to be heard. How much time do we spend only being caught up in what we want to hear and what we want to do? Their wisdom was screaming at us. And it may still be. The wisdom from above has been made available to us if we would only listen. God isn't someone who is hard to find. He and His wisdom screams in the streets, and His hand is stretched out for us to seek after. The only problem is, as we're going to see in James chapter 3, if you want to be turning over there, the only problem is what kind of wisdom are we actually searching for? Because I think it's easy to claim that we're searching from the wisdom from above, when in all reality, we keep leaning back on that wisdom down below, don't we? The earthly wisdom. Read with me in James chapter 3, starting in verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is shown in peace by those who make peace. What kind of wisdom are we searching for? What does it sound more like? Because I'm afraid too oftentimes we see these two choices, and on paper, they look polar opposite, don't they? But when we get in that moment, all of a sudden, maybe they don't look so different. And maybe that earthly wisdom, maybe it does flow with heavenly wisdom. When the reality is, it does not. That's what happens when you try to seek after both. When you get into the moments to where they need to be used, you ain't so sure, which one is it? and I'm supposed to be paying attention to. Folks, that's why we need to be paying attention and listening now, because our own jealousy, our own selfish ambitions, and our arrogances can cause disorder. Putting it back to our earthly fathers, this may be kind of the idea of not listening to the wisdom from our parents as children, and then what do you know? We found problems. Last country song I'll reference, I promise. But there's another country song, I Hear Voices. Now you really don't want to hear more about it, do you? The basic concept of this song is this guy is reminiscing at different moments in his life about things that his dad told him, things that his mother told him, or grandmother, or grandfather, and how they aided him and helped him in making decisions. That's what a good father and mother and parent and grandparent, that's what we should be striving to instill in our children, right? How much more with our Heavenly Father? But when we get in those moments, if we didn't listen to him, just like if we didn't listen to grandma, why would her words come back to mind? How could we draw upon them in making some tough decisions in life? When we stop and listen to the wisdom from above, we gain understanding to life in general, but most importantly to righteousness. Our God has not left us to fend for ourselves. He's extended his hand of wisdom through Christ and his word. And it's not just a mean old strong hand of wisdom, but our God's hands offer gentle protection. Turn it back over to Psalms. Psalm chapter 18 and verse 35 says, "You have also given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand upholds me, and your gentleness makes me great." Now just think about that for a minute. Is that not a very peaceful mindset and idea? Should that not comfort every one of us that are diligently seeking and striving to serve him? It should. Just like the good, gentle embrace of a father, just like the good, gentle embrace with a mother, that's what a passage like this and a realization about what God's hands offer us, that's what they should bring back to us. His wisdom brings a shield of protection. Just like a parent's wisdom should bring a shield of protection from unforeseen things. God's wisdom does the same thing for us. As we read earlier, failing to do that will only bring destruction. And this isn't a promise of nothing bad will happen, but how often does his will actually protect us? I'd argue quite often in this life. His wisdom brings salvation. That's what we should be striving for. That's what we should be longing for. Ultimately, it's going to bring it through the salvation in Christ. But it was God's hands that offered that. His hand holds us up during those difficult times, as some in this audience are going through now, as all of us are going to go through at some points in time. We receive our gentle Lord, and he does have a gentle hand. But do we not take that for granted too? I think we do. Sometimes, and I'll speak about this here in just a moment, sometimes it's only seeing him not punish in the moment, and so we take for granted his gentle hand. But then I think we also fail to take advantage of his caring embrace by not thinking about it and not appreciating it. There was a story that a preacher told one time. I don't remember who it was. It may have been here. Somebody can tell me who it was if you can remember. But he told this story about going and visiting one of the older members of the congregation. And he was walking up to her porch, and she was sitting in her front porch swing. And he asked her, "What are you doing?" And she said, "Oh, just sitting out here letting God love me." And he thought, well, that's an odd response. I wonder what she means by that. But he didn't really go any further with that. But he said, "You know, I got to thinking about it, and he said, I think I understand what she meant by that. It wasn't some kind of arrogant response like she deserved it. But I think it was this idea. How often do we stop and just be thankful that we have a Lord that loves us? Because he does. I tell you what, if you can't get focused on that, if you can't realize that, the other way ain't going to help you out very much either. Your Father loves you. He cares about you, and he wants to hold you in his arms. It's you who pushes back. It's you who runs away from that. The gentle, caring arms of a parent are like none other. Aiding you when you are low, reassuring you all along the way, and our Father offers that same gentle embrace. But like I said, there's two sides to that coin. And the reality is, God's hands are to be feared. In Hebrews chapter 10, the Hebrew writer writes something over here that's, well, quite honestly, not always pleasant for people to hear. But it's something that I do believe is very helpful, not only for those that are not living for the Lord, but for those of us that are to be reminded of. Starting in verse 26 of Hebrews chapter 10, "For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy of the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of God?" Will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The hand of discipline is never something enjoyed by a true parent. It's not enjoyed, but it's one that's needed. And it's most certainly not enjoyed by the one who receives whatever form of punishment that is. But it's one that is needed and too oftentimes taken for granted. We all need to be reminded that we will be judged. And though some may not realize that their souls are in his hands, we should. And that should sober us. It should sober us. God does not want this judgment for us, but the unrighteous have this waiting for them. That's why God's hand needs to be like this from time to time. That's why he needs you to see this side of him and understand it and realize that it's true, because he wants righteousness for you. We don't really get disciplined by God like a parent has the ability to discipline, but we're called on through the scripture to be disciplined, right? We're called on to be a disciplined people and to remember this so that this judgment isn't a thing to be feared. So that it can become very easy to just think God doesn't care what we do. And when we do that, we take for granted his long-suffering nature, only seemingly focused on his gentle nature. But this passage is pretty clear. Willfully sinning after knowing the truth puts us in his hands in a way that none of us would want to be in his hands. Because his judgment is not to be taken lightly, and we need to remember it, and we need to consider it with fear. Not the fear for the faithful, but to those who refuse, for those who walk away. Well, 2 Peter says it like this: "For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would be better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy commandment handed on to them." How dangerous indeed to reject God's hand. But is that not exactly what this passage says that we do when we know his will, we know his truth, and we turn away from it? We need to realize that when we sin, it is us slapping away God's merciful hand. I tell you, wouldn't every one of us be mad to see parents be such amazing, wonderful parents to a child, and that child just slap away every opportunity? Just pretend like those parents hadn't done nothing for them. Makes me mad. But it also reminds me that I've been that way too to my parents. And even scarier, I've been that way to my Lord. How silly and selfish we are to know our God and his will than to turn away from his hand. But folks, the reality is the passage we looked at already, we can turn back to him. We can turn back to our Lord. We already read this tonight, so I don't want to read it again, but I want you to look at the words that is said right there. And one of the words that really stands out and should stand out is the second word there. Therefore, humble yourselves. To start to walk with God under his mighty hand we must humble ourselves. Are you willing to turn back to Him tonight if you've been living wayward? It's going to take humility. When you think about a parable like the parable of the prodigal son, we must realize the state that we're in. And the reality is if you haven't made things right before your Lord, you are in that state. You are in a lost state. You are in a tragic state. You are in a disgusting state in the world, regardless of what the world may tell you that you're in. You need to realize what your Father's hands have to offer if you only will return back. And then you need to return back as a humble servant to Him. And you know what He's promised to do? He's actually promised to not just keep you some nasty, lowly servant, but He's going to put you right back in your place as being His child. Such a beautiful parable. Because it touches each and every single one of us. Through our God's hands, we gain peace and comfort even in times of stress and concern. Because His hand is mighty. Through His hand we become exalted. Because we humble ourselves to His will. And through His hand we are called to glory for those who accept it. Because our Heavenly Father cares for you. The question is will you humbly submit to Him today? Think about this. He made it all. We're talking about the Creator of the universe. We're talking about someone, the only someone that can offer true, genuine, real help to the problems that we have in this life. To offer that protection. To offer a place of gentleness. There's another song that I probably should have asked Caleb Lee, Safe in the Arms of Jesus. And I just think about that song, and there's times where I sing that song at different points in my life, and it does bring tears to my eye. Because I think about just how many difficult times that each one of us go through and how we might feel alone, but we have our Lord. And might I tell you something else too? It's just not that we have our Lord to help us in those times, but we have one another here too. Do you appreciate that? I ain't spent a lot of time talking about what God's hands has also given you, but God's hands has also given you a family. A family to strengthen you, a family to comfort you, a family to lift you up in the times of lowest despair. A family to rejoice with you in moments of exuberation. You have that. You have that here. God gave that to you as well. Do you appreciate the church for what it should be and what it actually is? Do you appreciate your role that you have in that? To be for and with one another. But God demands obedience. Are you willing to obey Him today? With a humble attitude towards these things, we can have a needed relationship with Him. We can have a righteous relationship that'll put us in the hands of God in a way that every one of us should only long to be. If you're here tonight, we ask that you don't wait any longer to make your life right before the Lord. If you haven't started that walk with Christ, now's the time to do that. If you're here and you've lived in a wayward, lost condition, let us talk with you. Let us help you. You make the choice. If you've made your life right before God before, but now you've walked away from Him, pray to God for forgiveness and change your life and repent tonight. Whatever we can do to help you, we ask that you come now as we stand and as we sing.